This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Amen. How many of y'all is glad to be here tonight? Amen. Ain't it been good? Well, I've enjoyed every minute, enjoyed all the special singing, all the choir. Y'all got the best choir that I know of around anywhere in this part of the country. And amen. It is a blessing. And I could sit here all night and just listen to y'all sing. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Matter of fact, I wish I could just take all of y'all with us to the next place and then the next place. So if y'all can find a big enough bus, just go ahead and make that happen, all right? Amen. But thankful for the Spirit of God that's been here each and every night. Amen. I was hoping that we'd get a little bit more of that Monday night effect. Amen. Amen. I can't explain what God did in my heart, and I dare say you feel the same tonight. But if you got your Bibles with me, we'll trust the Lord to help us one more time. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Genesis chapter number 3. I was thinking about the other night when I preached. Right in the middle of my preaching, the whole front and second row over here to my right where the preacher's sitting and Brother C.T., they just went to laughing like crazy. And I mean, I couldn't even hardly think straight. Amen. You ever try to talk to somebody and while you're talking to them, they're looking at you crazy or laughing at you and you ain't got no idea why? Well, that's what they was doing to me. And they told me after church that I missaid a country. They said there's no such place as Paw, New Guinea. And I look back at them like, what are they talking about? Sure there is. I've seen plenty of missionaries coming through my daddy's church for years. That's going to Paw, New Guinea. And they told me that it's Papa, New Guinea. But the problem is that CT's from West Virginia, and I don't know where Brother David's from. He lives in Georgia, Tennessee fan from Chicago. Who knows where he's from? All of us from Georgia know it's Paw, New Guinea. Somebody say amen. Amen. The majority has spoken. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Father, I pray that you help us now, Lord, for a few minutes. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know my burden. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would help me to give it to your people as you've gave it to me. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use me as your vessel tonight. Lord, that it wouldn't be my words that are heard, but Lord, may the voice of God be heard tonight in your house. And God, I pray, Lord, that you touch us, do something for us, do something through us and to us, and God, Lord, we thank you and we'll praise you. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I stopped reading there, but I want us to read one more verse and let this verse sit in our hearts before we go any further. Verse number 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And if the Lord would help me for a few minutes, I would like to preach on that thought.
where art thou? I read this scripture, and there are so many things out of this chapter and the next chapter that we can glean on and get for ourselves out of the book of Genesis. And there's one thing that I think about particularly when I think about the fellowship that Adam and Eve had with God Almighty. I've been in some pretty good church services in my 27 years of living. Matter of fact, Monday night was one of those that, boy, you just can't explain it. You just have to end your sentence with, you had to been there to really understand what God did. Those prayers cannot be explained, and those shouts cannot be told, and those tears cannot be told to everybody. They just should have been here for themselves. Boy, and I've been in some good services like that in my life, and I think about the times when I've been in some of those camp meetings or revivals when God would begin to move and people would get excited, people would be helped, people would rejoice, people would receive things from God that only He could give. But in the back of my mind, there's still that thought that, boy, could you imagine if we was to ever get in God's presence without any hindrance? Could you imagine if Monday night we would have been in that service and there would have been no sin present here? You say, Brother Jared, what are you saying? I'm saying that there was still a hindrance Monday night, even as big as God got, even as much as of His presence that we felt, there was still an oppression among this place because Satan is seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion. And I'm sure that he was still walking through the pews and he was still saying, you don't go pray. You might as well give up on those prayers. And there was a hindrance that was hurting what God really could have done. I'm not taking away from what God did do, but I just want us to open our minds and think about how much God could we really experience. Adam and Eve were the first people to ever have a relationship with God. Matter of fact, they were the only people to ever have a relationship with God that was unhindered, unhurt, that when God began to walk in the middle of the garden in the cool of the day, there was no sin present. There was nothing that was hurting God's presence. There was nothing that was trying to run Him off. Oh, but they worshiped Him in spirit and truth like no man on this side of heaven ever has. And we never will again until we get over there. Can I say that it was a perfect presence of God? It was a perfect worship of God. It was a perfect experience of God that any man has ever had in their life. But can I say that when Eve partook of that fruit, something happened? The book of Romans explains it like this: by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. And when they sinned in that garden, there was something that happened. Can you imagine? Every evening as God would walk through that garden in the cool of the day, I don't think God ever had to call for Adam. I don't think He ever had to look for Eve. But I believe that Adam was standing out there in the middle of the garden saying, Lord, here I am. God, come walk with us today. Come spend time with us today. Let's walk hand in hand through the garden one more time. But after that afternoon, after Eve partook and Adam partook of the fruit, God showed up one more time, and for the first time ever in humanity, Adam was not in his place. And I believe, you may not believe this, but I believe it with all my heart, Brother Sampson, it was the first time that God ever had to call Adam's name because he was not in his place. I don't think God ever had to say, Adam, to look for him. I believe Adam was already looking for God. Can I say, if you ever walk into the church and you are not looking for him, he will be looking for you. We ought to have the mindset, the Bible says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter in with praise and come in excited about God. Come in looking for God. Come in expecting God to do something. But if you are not in your place, if you have not been on your knees, if you have not been with God, he may walk inside of your garden. And instead of you saying, God, where are you at? He may be walking and saying, where are you at tonight? Where art thou. I want to give us a few places that if we're not careful, we will find ourselves hiding. There's three places, I believe, three or four. I can't even remember right now. I'm just already getting wrapped up in this pretty good. Amen. But there's some places that if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves hiding from God. I want you to notice, first off, you'll find yourself hiding in the crowd. The Bible says in verse number 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. Can I say, when God come walking through there, and he began to call Adam's name, Adam didn't know what to do. He'd never been in this place before. He'd never been in this situation. And all he could think to do was to blend in with something that he knew he wasn't. He heard God calling. He looked at Eve. He said, "You got a plan?" She said, "I don't know. I don't know what to do. I've never felt this way before. All I know is I can't be around him. I don't want him to look at me right now," because their eyes were open. Can I say, let me back up just a few verses and say that the devil, he doesn't always just tell blunt-faced lies, but sometimes he'll tell the truth in his lies. He said, "You know what?" He said, that sin won't kill you. He said, God said that you shall surely die. He said, "You ain't gonna die." He said, "But better than that," he said, "your eyes will be open." Can I say, the devil knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew that physically they would not taste death, but spiritually death was going to come upon men. And it affected me and it affected you. They looked at each other, and for the first time they saw themselves as sinners. And Adam says, "Let's run over here into the trees and try to blend in with something else that we know that we're not, but maybe God will mistake us for something else." Can I say to you tonight, when we find ourselves in places when we know that we are not where God wants us to be, we know that we've backslid on God, we will do anything and everything that we can to do to try to blend in with this world. Adam walked over there. I don't know if he stood like a tree, tried to look like a branch, or just tried to hide behind a tree somewhere. But I know this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good. And no matter how hard we try to hide, no matter how hard we try to blend in, there's just something about God. He knows where we are before we even knew where we were going. He knows the intent of our heart better than we even know ourselves. And God knew where to look for Adam at in his day of sin. Can I say, young people, when you try to blend in with the ways of this world, it will not work. Boy, I remember when I told y'all about I surrendered to preach the other night. When I was running from God while he was calling me to preach, boy, I wasn't just trying to play peekaboo with him. I was trying to get out of Dodge. Somebody say amen. I would do anything it took to get further away from God. And I would try to blend in with the wrong crowd. I'd try to start hanging out with the wrong kind of people. I would start trying to do the wrong kind of things. Anything that I could do to get away from the presence of God, I was willing to do it, because I did not want to be around him. But more than that, I didn't want him to be around me. And can I say that it never did work? And can I tell you tonight, there's just something about somebody who's been to the foot of Calvary. You may try to blend in with the trees, but you will never look the same. You'll always stand out no matter where you are. They tried to blend in with the crowd. Not only that, but they tried to use the coverings. Look with me in verse number 7. Y'all say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." They knew if they was going to do something, if they had to do anything, they had to cover up what they were exposing themselves as. Has anybody ever tried to cover something up before? Oh, yeah. Has anybody over here ever tried to cover something? They're being honest. Y'all want to be honest? Anybody over here? They begin to sew them fig leaves together. They begin to try to use something to hide what they were. My mom and daddy, they've got a fig tree at their house. Anybody got a fig tree? I noticed something about those things. They stink. Them figs, they start blooming. Boy, and I don't even like to eat them just because of the way they smell. But after they've hung on as long as they can to those branches, boy, they'll start turning all kind of weird colors. And they'll start getting weak. And then they'll start falling off of those branches and start landing on the ground, splitting wide open. A big old flies come land on them. Boy, and it's just the awfulest mess you ever smelled and ever seen. And then big old leaves, they get real big. And man, they really are pretty, those big old green leaves. And my mama told me that she did a Sunday school lesson on the fig tree one time. And she said that she took some of those fig leaves off of that tree and was using them as an illustration while she was teaching that Sunday school lesson. She said, and I noticed something about those fig leaves. She said, it wasn't very long after I took them from the branch that they were surviving from, the thing that was giving them life to live, the thing that was giving them the nutrients, supplying the water into them, supplying the good soil into them so they could grow and stay the right color and give the right fruit. She said, when I took them from those branches, she said, it wasn't but just one day. Those big, green, pretty leaves, they started drying up. They started shriveling up. She said, and that pretty green color started turning into a stained brown color. She said, in just a couple more days, it wasn't very long, and those green leaves that become stained color was now just a solid dark color, and they was dry, and you could barely touch one, and it would crack, and it would break, and it was so brittle. Boy, my heart began to break because I thought about how many times when I was running from God and when I was trying to hide from God, I would steal something. I would take something and bring it out of its life and bring it out of its perfect nature, and I would use it to cover up my sins and to cover up the things that I was doing wrong from God. But little did I know that it was not going to last. Little did I know that I was just not hurting myself, but I was hurting the other things that I was even trying to use. Can I say tonight, if you're trying to use friends to cover your sins up from God, you ain't just hurting yourself, honey, but you're hurting your friends. If you're trying to use your family, you're taking your family down with you. You're going to steal the life from them. You will do as much damage to the ones that you love in trying to cover your own sin. Don't use the coverings, but when God comes walking through your garden, just say, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I just need your forgiveness. If we're faithful to confess our sins, honey, he'll be faithful and give us the forgiveness that we need. Use the coverings. Not only did they use the coverings, boy, I would say I like this in one sense. I do in one sense. I don't. This one kind of hits close to home. Look with me in verse number 12 and 13. Matter of fact, let's read verse number 11. The Bible said, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the Bible says, and the man said, listen, the woman. Y'all can laugh. I know you want to. All you husbands is looking at your wife. Told you. Better act right from now on. You caused me to fall. I ain't just working. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me. And she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the woman said, or the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Can I break it down for you? South Carolina version, when they were standing on trial in front of God, he said, why'd you do that? And Adam said, I ain't saying anything, but this thing that you gave me, she made me do it. And he said, well, Eve, why'd you do it? She said, it was the serpent's fault. He told me all this good stuff that was going to happen, our eyes would be open. He might have blamed me, but I'm blaming him. And if you'll pay close attention, Adam just didn't say the woman. He said the woman that you created. And Eve just didn't say it was the serpent. She pretty much said the thing that you created. And the whole time Satan's laying on the ground on his belly smiling and laughing because he got his way. And he wasn't happy that Adam blamed Eve and that Eve was blaming Adam. But he was happy that they was pointing their fingers back up at God. Can I say that if we're not careful, when we start blaming other people in our lives, when we run out of people to blame of why we are in the place that we are in and why we are doing the things that we are doing, when we've exhausted all our friendships and all of our family, we'll say, God, if you wouldn't have put me here in the first place, I wouldn't have been in this situation. We basically are saying, God, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Can I say, boy, I'm not proud of it, but I've hurt people in my life because I wanted to blame them for what I did wrong. But when the rubber meets the road, when I ran out of friends to blame my wrongdoings on, Brother David, and when I ran out of family members to say they got me here, boy, I started finding myself saying, God, if you would have just done something, I wouldn't be in this mess. Lord, if you would have just provided for me, I wouldn't be where I am. But can I say that we do not have any right to blame God, but God already has gave the instructions. He's already told us what to do. When the Satan comes along and when the temptations come along, just stay fast with God and say, it may be tempting, it may seem good, but God said no, and I'm going with God.
Amen.
You know, I've heard I'm trying to move along fast, but boy, I've just got this on me, and I gotta get it out or I won't sleep tonight. Somebody say amen. I've heard many people, and I've even heard my dad say this before. Boy, we go around to youth meetings, and boy, we do some hard preaching to teenagers, Brother David, and boy, we try to tell them, live for God. Don't go into the world. It's just not worth it. Live right. Live holy. Live pure unto God. And boy, a lot of times, I believe teenagers start thinking this way because it's why I started thinking this way. He just don't trust me. I said teenagers, but let me go ahead and tell the adults. When the preacher's preaching hard, sometimes you'll start feeling like, well, he just don't trust me. Don't we feel like that sometimes? He thinks I'm going to go wreck my life. He thinks I'm going to mess up. But you know what? I believe Adam and Eve would have lived every day of their life in the perfect will of God, walking in the cool of the day with God. I believe they never would have failed. I believe that God trusted them to live the way that they were supposed to live. It's not that the preacher don't trust you. It's not that he doesn't have the faith in believing that you will live for God and that you will do the things that God wants you to do, and adults to be the dad that he wants you to be and the mother that he wants you to be and to be the home leader that you're supposed to be. It's just we don't trust everybody else. I don't think Adam and Eve would have ever partook of that fruit had the serpent not come crawling in and said, just try it one time. It ain't because he thinks y'all gonna mess up. Can I say, probably more than likely, you ain't gonna have your first drink of beer just because you wanna go have a drink of beer. You probably ain't gonna smoke your first joint just because you wanna smoke your first joint. You probably ain't gonna put a needle in your arm, take your first shot of heroin just because you wanna see what heroin feels like. But because somebody's going to say, try this. Because somebody's going to say, you ain't never felt like what this is about to make you feel like. It's because the temptation that others will lead you into. I got to move on. Not only the companion, but lastly, and I'm done. I think it's just something about the humanity, the human nature of man. They always want to be a hider. Adam and Eve started the ultimate game of hide and go seek. Hid in the trees, tried to use fig leaves. Boy, they should have had me around. Well, I guess I shouldn't have said that. It wouldn't have worked neither. Couldn't hide from God. But I am the ultimate champion of, we don't even call it hide and go seek. We used to call it manhunt. Amen. Hide and go seeks for children. You turn into a teenager, young teenager, you play manhunt. You don't play it in the middle of the day, you play it at midnight. Pitch black, dark, no full moon. That's part of the rules. Can't play on a full moon. Got to be pitch black, dark outside. You don't go hide, and when somebody gets caught, the game's over. You hide until everybody has been found. Then you are the winner. Anybody ever play manhunt? Come on. It's just something about a man that wants to hide. Matter of fact, it starts so early, it kind of blows my mind. Ella, man, she's 13 months now. About 3 months ago, she started this thing, about 10 months old. She would get in the bed at night. I love it when those babies start getting tired and they just become delirious. They become crazy. That's my favorite time of the day. She just becomes so playful. And she'll take those blankets and she'll pull them up over her head and she'll say, and she wants me or Jennifer to say, "Where's Ella?" Somewhere deep in her mind, she thinks that she has disappeared. She thinks when she pulls those blankets over her head or her little dress or whatever it may be that she got over her eyes, she thinks, "I can't see them, so they can't see me." And she has to, to make sure we know she's still there, she wants us to say, "Where in the world are you at?" And boy, me and Jennifer, we'll laugh at her and we'll have a big time. And we'll say, "Where's Ella?" And she'll snatch them back down and she'll laugh and she'll grin. She'll do it over and over, 5, 10, 20 times sometimes. You know, I thought about that. I don't see any youngins. All the youngins are over here. "Brother Jake, can you be my baby?" World's largest baby right here. "You're going to be Ella for a minute." I look at Ella, and I look at her while she's in that bed, and when she throws that blanket over, "You got to go this way." No, right there. See, he don't even know where he's at right now. He can't even see which way's front and backwards. She really thinks that she's disappeared. She has no idea where we are. She thinks that we have no idea where she is. But the truth of the matter, the fact is, it looks really funny to mom and daddy because we know exactly where she's at. We know exactly what she's doing. And even though she can't see us and we can see her, we can get real close to her. Boy, we could knock her out one good time. He has no idea what kind of danger he's in. You need to straighten anything out while... just blindside him one good time. He looks real silly. But you know what the truth is? Sometimes when we ain't post, when we're not where we're supposed to be with God, and he comes walking into our garden, sometimes we get our little spiritual blanket and we put it up over us. And we try to hide from him. And we get in the trees and we start putting our fig leaves back on and we start trying to hide from God. Can I say sometimes I don't think it's so he can't see us, but sometimes I think it's just so we can't see him. We're scared of what he thinks. We're scared of what he's going to do. We're scared about what he's going to say. But can I tell you that I sure am glad that God knew that it was in man's nature to hide all along. He knew that we would sin. He knew that we would fail. He knew that we would fall. He knew we would mess up. He knew all about it. Can I say that even when he knew all of that, he said, "I will make a way." Look right here, they might have hid it in the crowd, they might have hid in the coverings, and they might have used their companion, but I'm thankful that God used a cross for us to be able to hide in, honey. I'm thankful that in his foreknowledge, amen, in his omnipotence, he knew that we would need something to hide in. Look right here in verse number 21, the Bible said, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them." He said, "Adam, I know you just want to hide for the rest of your life, but don't go hiding in the crowd. Don't go hiding in the covering. Don't even use Eve to hide in." He said, "But just go hide in the things that I've made available for you to hide in." I can't prove this, but I've just got a feeling because this is the way God works. He said, I've made a sacrifice. I've just got this feeling that he done had a lamb sacrificed somewhere in that garden, and he had a coat of righteousness ready for Adam and for Eve, and he began to put it on them. He said, if you're going to hide in something, hide in this coat, hide in this righteousness, hide in this grace, hide in this blood. And can I say to you tonight, I might have done wrong. I might have messed up. I might be a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And when he looks at me, he don't see me, but he sees the coat of righteousness of his own son. If I'm going to hide, I want to hide in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If Jesus come walking into your garden tonight, would you be standing in the middle of the garden saying, Lord, here I am. I'm ready for my evening stroll with you. Or would he have to walk into your garden and start calling names, saying you're not in your place. You're not where you normally are. Where art thou? Where are you tonight? Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you for the word of God. Lord, and we bless your good name, Lord, that, Lord, even though we have may have failed a few times, and Lord, we may have done some things that we ain't proud of, Lord, I'm thankful that we can still hide in the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, thank you for the code of righteousness, Lord, that was imputed on our behalf. God, Lord, I'm thankful when the Father sees me, he don't just see Jared, but he sees his son. We love you and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. I don't know.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.